You set the gold standard for your business. Your website should do the same. Wix puts you at the helm, so you can enjoy the creative freedom of designing your site just the way you want. Want someone to bounce your ideas off? Talk with AI to create a beautiful site together. Whatever your business, manage it from one place and tie it all together with a personalized domain name. Gear up for success with a brand that says you best. You can do it yourself on Wix.
Hey everyone, welcome back to more Crime Salad. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, well, welcome to our show. If you're new, this is Crime Salad, and I'm Ashley.
And I'm Ricky.
Now, this week, we are covering the story of Joseph Comunale. We hope that with this episode, we keep his name and his story alive in hope to prevent future tragedies.
For sure.
So who is Joseph Comunale? His friends called him Joey, and he was only 26 years old from Stamford, Connecticut, full of life and promise. He was described as an amazing hockey player, and he had an extremely loving family and made many friends. Stamford, Connecticut is only about 35 miles northeast of New York City, so it's a quick drive, usually taking about 45 minutes to an hour, depending upon traffic.
You can take the boat.
Yeah, you could. And it's super convenient for a night out in the city, especially with regular train services from Stamford to Grand Central Terminal. So those who are working in the city or looking to enjoy a Saturday night out, New York City is a popular destination and the go-to spot.
For some.
Now, people who knew Joseph, they pointed out how close he was to his family and to his group of friends. And he was all around great to be around. Like, he was just a great person. He attended Hofstra University, where he not only hit the books hard, but he also made a ton of friends. Joey was known for being the life of the party, always up for a good time and bringing people together. He played basketball and he played hockey in college and was a huge sports fan, always ready for a game or to cheer on his favorite teams. And let's not forget his love of music, concerts, festivals, you name it. Joey was there living it up, living life in his late 20s and purely enjoying it.
He was a man of good times.
Yeah. Now, his friends would tell you that Joey was the kind of guy who would drop everything to help you out. He had this amazing ability to make sure everyone felt special and valued. Weekends with Joey were never dull, whether it was a casual hangout or a night out in New York City. On Saturday, November 13th, 2016, Joseph headed to New York City. Excited for a fun night with friends, they hit up a lounge in Manhattan, looking forward to everything the city's nightlife had to offer. But then things took a dark and unexpected turn. The next Monday, Joey was reported missing. So as we try to understand how a night that started with laughter and fun ended in such tragedy, we ask that you remember the family and the friends who were left with a heavy heart for a life lost too soon and have to live with Joseph Comunale's loss every day. So on Saturday night, November 12th, 2016, Joseph Comunale, a 26-year-old man from Stamford, Connecticut, he traveled with his group of friends to New York City for a night out. It was a night filled with nightlife, drinking, dancing, socializing at high-end city bars, doing whatever it was that a 26-year-old was doing in 2016. At some point in the night, Joseph and his friends were approached by two men who start to hang out with their group of friends. These two were Lawrence DeLeon and Max Gemma. And Joseph ends up leaving the bar with these two guys. No one really knows for sure what these two said to persuade him into leaving with them exactly. It's pieced together that the two men convinced him to join them at a New York City penthouse for an after party once the bar closed, along with three other women who were at the bar.
I mean, so basically a good time.
Yeah.
He left a bunch of his friends, though, to leave with a couple strangers, which I think is kind of weird, but okay.
Well, Joseph in his late 20s, what else was there to do? It's 4 a.m. and the club is jumping.
Yeah, you got to keep that party alive.
Hey, Crime Side listeners, have you ever thought about solving a mystery? Or better yet, solving the mystery of running a successful online store?
Now, that's a mystery that's hard to solve.
Well, let me tell you about the perfect partner for your business. Shopify.
Oh, I thought it was me.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from launching your online shop to opening your first real-life store, and all the way to hitting a million orders. Shopify is there to help you grow. So whether you're selling sleuthing supplies or marketing mystery merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere.
Like from, slugs?
Yeah. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever, whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. One of my favorite moments was when I realized I could turn my passion into a thriving business, and Shopify made it so easy. With their AI-powered all-star Shopify magic, I could sell more with less effort. It's like having Watson to my homes.
It's actually so easy that I'm not going to do just Crime Salad anymore with Shopify. I'm going to do my real passion, slugs.com.
What are you going to sell?
Slugs.
For what? Fish tanks?
For free.
So if you're ready to take on your business to the next level, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/crimesalad, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/crimesalad now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, visit shopify.com/crimesalad today.
Sounds great. Also, slugs.com.
Ka-ting. The place that they were going to was the Grand Sutton Place Apartments where James Rackover lived. People call him Jimmy, and he legally changed his last name to Rackover about 3 years ago from around this time. Now, Jimmy, he grew up being raised by his single mother and lived in Fort Lauderdale, Florida in his 20s, and he soon met a wealthy Jeffrey Rackover who gave him his last name. And he left with Jeffrey to New York City with hopes of putting his old past behind him. And he was living with 56-year-old wealthy Manhattan man Jeffrey as a surrogate son. He was living this lavish lifestyle. The wealthy Manhattan man named Jeffrey Rackover basically took in this young 20-year-old with the explanation that he became a father to him, something that Jimmy never had growing up. He supported him by giving Jimmy a place to stay at a high-end apartment and gave him a lavish lifestyle that came with designer clothing, meals covered, a car, you name it.
So basically, maybe not a dad, but a daddy.
Yeah, a sugary daddy. Well, Jeffrey would even refer to Jimmy as his long-lost son to some people. So a lot of people thought that he was his biological son.
Okay, so this dude's super wealthy, like, who is he?
So Jeffrey, he's this guy who has clients like Oprah, J-Lo, Melania Trump. Now, there were later reports and a few rumors that said that they were more than just a father-son relationship, but, you know.
Probably more romantic.
Yeah, more on the romantic side, but nothing's really confirmed.
So we don't actually know. It's speculation, but...
Speculation.
Definitely more daddy than dad.
Now, before Jimmy left his life in Florida, he actually had a bit of a criminal history. A few past offenses included burglary, drug use, and violating terms of his probation. Although those are nothing compared to murder, he even cut off his ankle monitor and fled from authorities. So that's a quick rundown of Jimmy, the 25-year-old guy who had this cool apartment in Manhattan and was throwing this after party where two other guys invited Joseph and a few women over.
Okay.
So just to kind of review, all who were at this apartment supposedly was Joseph, Jimmy, the apartment owner, two of his friends, Lawrence and Max, and three women who came along. Joseph was seen entering the Grand Sutton apartment building in Manhattan, located at 418 East 59th Street, and it seemed that he willingly went inside to go into the apartment number 4C where the after party happened. This one-bedroom, one-bathroom apartment at Sutton Place, located in Manhattan, seems to be occupied currently at this time. However, it was quickly renovated and went back up for rent shortly after what happened in this apartment, which we will get into in more detail soon. Now, the next day, Sunday, November 13th, 2016, at 6:50 a.m., so it's the morning, he was seen escorting the three women out of the apartment along with Lawrence, and then him and Lawrence walked back into the apartment. Sadly, this was the last time Joseph was seen alive.
So, wait, what time did they actually get to the apartment for the after party?
So, they got there around 4 a.m.
Oh, so they probably didn't sleep.
Yeah, probably not.
Something probably happened and then this is the reaction.
Yeah, probably not. Now, this contradicted what Lawrence, a.k.a. Larry the Liar, told police.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, I made it up. Larry told the police that Joey went off with the women, and that was it. He was gone. But the actual surveillance footage saw him not leave with the women, and one of the women soon told the police that Joseph didn't leave with them.
Red flag.
Now, by the next day, Joseph wasn't answering his phone, and he never came home.
It's a pretty shitty feeling as a dad.
Yeah, his worried father couldn't get a hold of him, and he went to the police immediately, desperate to get any extra help to bring his son home. He was out drinking with a few friends on Saturday night, and now it's Monday, and he's nowhere to be found. Which, no matter what age your kids are, 26, 36, whatever, they're always your babies.
I'm the baby.
Your mom loves you so much. Any parent's worst nightmare, right? Joseph's friends actually helped with the start of the investigation. They looked on Instagram trying to find any pictures of that night at the bars that they were at with Joseph in them, and they were determined to find Joseph. So one of Joseph's friends, they found this picture with Joseph and these women who were there with them. And they were able to narrow it down to the guys that he hung out with, who he left with. The friend messaged one of the guys asking about Joseph, where he was, have you heard anything? And he started to feel uneasy about the situation. So when he was reported missing, the investigation began where Joseph was last seen and last known to be, which was the apartment on the Upper East Side. This is when they reviewed the surveillance footage and they talked to witnesses like Lawrence and one of the women and some people in the building who provided crucial information that helped piece together his final movements.
All right. So the police are asking, like, did you see anything weird, abnormal, strange?
Right. Yeah. And the NYPD received reports of a disturbance at the Grand Sutton apartment building. And sadly, based on surveillance footage, they never saw him completely leave the apartment building on his own accord. On top of that, there were witnesses who reported seeing a man dragging a heavy piece of luggage out of the building. And when the police further searched, there was actually a luggage rack that was covered in blood.
Well, shit. That's something.
Yeah. And it appeared to investigators that Joseph seemed to be involved in some kind of fight at the party and was stabbed.
So I take it they were pretty lazy cleaning the crime scene.
Yeah, they definitely left a trail of blood behind. In fact, it was reported by the NYPD that there was a substantial amount of blood evidence, which included plastic bags that were covered in blood that were thrown down a garbage chute and were in the garbage room. And there were articles of clothing, sheets, and towels with blood evidence inside the apartment room 4C. So yeah, they didn't really think things through, which was in the investigators' favor for sure.
Where did they think the garbage chute went? Like, it went into some dark abyss that no one could ever see again?
The deep, dark abyss. Yeah, exactly. Now, being that James Rackover was living in that apartment, he became the primary person of interest. Rackover's behavior and inconsistent statements during the police interviews raised suspicions. Further investigation and questioning of the two people, including Rackover and Lawrence DeLeon, revealed critical details. Lawrence was the one who eventually cooperated with the police and provided information that led them to a burial site.
So it sounds like, from the police perspective, there were no other doubts. Right from the beginning, they have all of this evidence. Like, these guys, they're involved. Something. Right, yeah. They're involved.
Now, they followed Lawrence's lead, and law enforcement officers arrived at a wooded area behind a florist shop in Oceanport, New Jersey. There was even surveillance footage that was reviewed at a vacant lot in Oceanport, New Jersey, where two guys were seen carrying out a suitcase. They conducted a thorough search of the area, and there they discovered a shallow grave. To their horror, they found a chilling sight, a hand sticking out of the dirt.
Ugh, that's like a Halloween movie.
Yeah, and then it was determined to be Joseph Comunelli's body, showing multiple stab wounds, estimated to be around 15 different stab wounds. His body was doused in gasoline, and his legs appeared to be burned.
Jeez.
The extent of the injuries and the condition of the remains indicated a brutal and violent death.
Okay. So let me break this down. They stabbed him, they burned him, and then they buried him like a piece of trash.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good that he didn't get away with it, but I don't understand. They invited him over for an after party. They escorted these women out. They had to be on good terms because Joseph willingly turns around, walks back into the apartment. Like, what went down? Like, something had to have happened for it to escalate.
Well, when Lawrence came forward and decided to speak to the police, he told the investigators that there was a fight that broke out basically once after the after party was over, relating to who supplied what. So like the drinks and the drugs and whatnot. Lawrence confessed that he had punched Joey. Then Jimmy Rackover was the one who stabbed him with a knife in a rampage that led to his death.
Jeez.
Max, the other friend, apparently was asleep during this whole time of the attack, but the attack ended up waking him up, and Lawrence told Max to leave. And then the two guys who were there with Joseph's body had murder on their hands, and so they attempted to dispose of all of the evidence and his body.
So did Max actually leave, like when he woke up?
Allegedly, he left, yeah.
Oh, wow. So he really doesn't have anything to do with this. He was asleep, and then he left.
Yeah, I guess. Now, forensic teams worked meticulously to gather evidence from the obvious homicide, from DNA evidence that was covered in the apartment and on different items like the knife that was used to stab Joseph, and as far as the suitcase, blood-soaked towels, Joey's credit cards and identification, they were all found and recovered from the garbage.
The abyss.
Yeah. And there was also cleaning supplies that was discovered that was used to try to hide the blood and the evidence. And of course, cell phone evidence pictures, cell phone location data, and whatnot was a big part in putting the puzzle pieces together for this case. And of course, we can't forget about the big one, surveillance footage. You just can't go against what was captured on surveillance footage.
I mean, unless it was like super bad quality.
Well, true.
It's like our iPhones are crystal clear, but for some reason, these surveillance cameras are still so terribly awful.
Yeah, that is true. Now, the autopsy found 15 stab wounds, burn marks, and many broken bones. And being that there are so many broken bones, it gave investigators the belief that his body was possibly tossed out of a window in a suitcase after he was deceased.
Tossed out of a window in New York City. What? Like, how do you think you're going to get away with that? It's a super populated city. Yes, it's in the morning, but what?
And maybe they were trying to gamble their luck and avoid cameras, maybe. But this was their way of getting the body out of the building undetected. Maybe they were thinking about the security footage around this time.
But also maybe not, because this sounds all super reactive, right? Like not premeditated.
Right.
This is something that they did, it happened, and now they're possibly dealing with.
Right.
It's a risk.
And then they tried to get rid of his body by burning it, but yeah, that didn't work. This case grabbed a lot of media attention because of how brutal the crime was and who the suspects were. James Rackover, in particular, was in the spotlight because not only did it happen at his apartment, but because of his connections to a famous jeweler in New York City.
The jeweler of the stars.
The sugar daddy, as some would say. Now, on November 16th, 2016, James Rackover and Lawrence DeLeon were both arrested, and they faced charges relating to Communelli's death, including concealment of a human corpse and hindering prosecution.
Oh, what about the sleeper dude, Max Gemma?
Well, yeah, so he ended up being charged with hindering prosecution, which basically refers to any action or actions that can interfere with the legal process of a crime. So like providing false information or assisting in hiding information. He was also charged with tampering with evidence in connection with the murder of Joey Communelli. And it was believed that Max, he was inside of the apartment while the murder had taken place, but he didn't participate. So it's like he knew about it. But yeah.
Okay. He was sleeping. They told him to leave. He left, but he also didn't do anything about it.
Exactly.
So what was his sentence?
Well, he got 6 months in prison and 5 years of probation.
Okay.
And as for the other two in their charges, Lawrence DeLeon, he was sentenced to 23 years in prison after pleading guilty to first-degree manslaughter. An interesting point that the prosecution brought up was that his ring was dented, which indicated that he had to have punched him possibly really hard or more than once for the ring to dent.
Maybe. I mean, I guess it depends on the metal. If it were gold and it were a soft metal, maybe.
Maybe, Ricky. But very true. I mean, depending upon the metal type. Now, James Rackover, he was found guilty of second-degree murder and other charges, receiving a sentence of 28 years to life in prison.
Yeah.
And like we said, this case got a lot of media attention and also social media attention. His disappearance and then the discovery that he was murdered in New York City spread quickly. And it's believed that those who were involved, they felt this pressure to come forward thanks to the spread of this case through social media, but it also caused a lot of rumors to spread and misinformation to spread and a lot of different speculation, which can always impact an investigation.
Honestly, I hate hearing cases like this because it's kind of like movies, you know, you always paint this son at the beginning of a movie as like this really awesome person. He was a great brother. He was a great son. And it like leads up to the fact that there's going to be a loss, right? I think they did it in Fried Green Tomatoes and some other random movies that I can't think of off the top of my head. But it makes me think of our own son. You know, we have an awesome son. He's perfect. It scares me so much.
It's my worst fear and nightmare to even think that anything would ever happen to him.
You know, and it's one of those things, though, that, like, everybody looks at it this way, you know? Like, you don't feel safe when things like this happen.
No. Especially, like, these young 26-year-olds were at a bar hanging out, trying to have fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's... And then for something so extreme to happen, it just is like, it's frightening to hear this. Yeah.
Not to mention, even between the two of us, we spent all of our 20s together. We've been together too freaking long. But how many situations were we in? Like, we hid behind a dumpster one time because there was a shooting.
Yeah.
Like, those stories all could end so differently, and they didn't. And I think it's common. Like, everyone probably has a story like that.
Yeah, where it was just too close to murder. Like, oh my God, we could have been murdered.
Right.
You know?
It's like flying in an airplane. Everyone knows there's a risk with flying in an airplane, but like, what about the people who actually crashed and died? Like, so many times we're like, we hit turbulence and we're like, oh shit, this is it. And then it's okay. What about the times when it's not okay?
Right. Like, you never really know who you're hanging out with. Joseph, he went to go hang out with these people thinking, you know, they're just like,
I don't want the party to end.
They just don't want the party to end. They're still drinking and whatever, having a good time.
Right.
It's 4 a.m., turns to 6:50 a.m., and maybe it was a combination of a lack of sleep, the alcohol, the cocaine, and just this turmoil of like, you guys did all my cocaine, I don't have any left. You know, I don't know.
Something like that. But I've also seen speculation where a lot of people think maybe Rackover, the son/lover, possibly, maybe he hit on Joey and Joey said no.
Maybe.
Maybe the retaliation came from there. We don't really know, but something went down.
Something like really extreme to like break out in a fight like that. Like, we all get in fights, we all get in arguments, but at what level do you stab someone 15 times?
Right.
It makes me think, like,
when things like this happen, it makes me think of the movie Superbad, when the one dude on that movie was like, I wake up in the morning and I pray for a fight. It's like, if you have your knife on you and you're ready to stab someone that quick,
you're almost like looking for a reason.
Like, are you?
Maybe. But what also makes me even hate this guy even more, like, okay, maybe you're thinking this was some kind of like bad experience, like bad altercation. You're like, okay, let's just get rid of the body. And then like, right, it never happened. But what makes me hate this guy even more is Jimmy. He went to the gym and he was bragging to some guy in the locker room that he had slit someone's throat and disposed of his body.
Really? Yeah. So that guy went to the police?
Well, that eventually came up as like a witness thing, like once things started like coming up, because when someone says that to you, you're just like, oh, really? Like, oh, wow.
Yeah, sure you did.
But then you're like, oh my God, he actually did.
Right.
And that part of the evidence, it was presented during James Rackover's trial. Now, the family of Joseph Comunelli, they continue to honor his memory and seek justice for his tragic death. Because even when you put away people in prison for life, it just doesn't feel like you're getting justice, you know? Like, they're still living. Joseph isn't. Joseph's father, Pat Comunelli, he has been actively involved in advocating for his son's legacy and ensuring the public remembers this case. Pat Comunelli has also participated in various media interviews and different events to keep awareness alive about the impacts of violent crime.
Which I know both of us watched the episode with Chris Hansen. I think it's like Crime Daily. But it really touched me when the father said that. He said, the only reason I'm telling you this story is because I want to keep his story alive. And then at the end of that episode, there was kind of a breakdown where they just hugged and cried. And it was really eye-opening.
Yeah. Now, Pat and Lisa Comunelli, along with their daughter, Alexa, have been focusing on supporting each other and staying connected with their community. The family has found solace in the support from their friends and different strangers who have been moved by Joey's story. Tragic end to his life. It's horrible.
It's horrible.
But yeah, 26 years old, and you know, you think that you get that call back from him on Monday or like over the weekend, like, hey, Dad.
Yeah.
No, nothing.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where you're like, I wish he was able to tell the story and say, hey, Dad, I had a close encounter. It was really scary, but I made it out. But not all of us get the opportunity to make it out.
Yeah, it makes you like really aware too that you really just shouldn't go over someone's house, you know,
yeah,
that you don't know, or like stranger, bring some friends with you, or
yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know he went to the bar with some of his friends and they all went home and he left with some strangers. Which normally that's probably okay. It's like you're continuing the fun times. But you don't always know who you're with.
No. You never know their back history or like what they're really capable of, you know?
Yeah.
Till it's too late, unfortunately.
Right.
Well, this sums up this week's episode. I hope you guys were moved by Joey's story. And yeah. Until next time.
Till next time.
But while you're here, You might as well just subscribe to Crime Salad and also leave us a nice review if you're enjoying our show. Just tell us what you think.
Right. Or join our Patreon. I think we're going to leave some more personal stories on Patreon. Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff that happens in our life. It seems like it happens weekly. And we're just holding on by a thread. And what better place to share it than
with
our podcast?
You guys who love to listen to us for whatever reason.
For whatever reason. But honestly, no. I mean, it's stuff that I've contemplated that we share within the episode, but I think it would be better to do it, you know, on Patreon, something like that. So just a quick sneak peek at what Patreon will share this week, which honestly, I feel weird paywalling things. So I want to leave this up to free members on Patreon, but also, you know, some of our supporters who pay for, you know, ad free and that type of thing. But recently our dog went missing. I have no idea how. We woke up in the morning. We think he got out at night. He's a black pug, brindle, I guess.
He's super goofy.
Super goofy. I actually posted something on Facebook. I said, you know, like, if anyone has seen him, please let us know. He's an idiot, but he's our idiot. We need him back. It was terrifying. But yeah, let's share the story on Patreon.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about it and talk about just our daily life outside of Crime Salad.
Right. So patreon.com/crimesaladpodcast. Honestly, I want to leave this up to free and paid members. Now, paid members, I don't want you to feel left out because you still get ad-free listens and that type of thing. But let's open this up.
Yeah.
Also, one more thing. We're going to do our first in like years live interaction.
Oh, we are.
On YouTube.
Okay.
For Patreon.
YouTube.
Yes.
Okay.
For our patrons, paid and free.
Cool. I can't wait.
Patreon.com/crimesaladpodcast. Join.
Join now today. Your life will be changed.
Also, I don't want to leave our Apple subscription members out. So like, just send us a message on Instagram or something at Crime Salad Podcast, or even our email at crimesaladpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know that you're a member and you want to attend. I'll send you the link.
Sounds good. Peace out.
Girl Scout.
A-Town down.
Oh, look at this.
Peace out. A-Town down.
Boom, 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 boom.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.